Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry here on this Friday, December, what is it, 17th? 17th? Ooh, those shopping days are dwindling down. How you doing on all that?
I'm good. No, I'm not doing
You're
well, John.
Not doing well, right. Doing well. Yeah, you have to work for a living. Noelle King is joining me today. Celeste is off for the holidays. She's way ahead of schedule. Actually got everything done before she left for 2.5 weeks.
She's got nothing to do but cook Christmas dinner.
That's right. And sleep in the mornings. Noelle King, Takeaway Managing Producer. So yesterday, you were a part of this editorial process. The BP, of course, being sued by the Justice Department. Civil lawsuit announced by Eric Holder yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, though, we learn from 5,400 pages of previously unreleased documents turned over to our partners at the New York Times under the Freedom of Information Act that possibly federal regulators were stonewalling congressional efforts to increase their scrutiny of offshore drilling in advance of the BP disaster.
That's right. And some interesting timing on the lawsuit, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's who's liable here? I mean, BP obviously is responsible for the spill, and there's questions of Transocean and Halliburton, and there were other people named in the suit.
I would imagine if you're down in the Gulf, you just want everyone held liable.
Well, we're going to check in with someone down in the Gulf in a moment, but we also want to talk about this issue of liability for the government, liability for BP. What were the regulators doing? What should they have been doing? We've got an interesting portrait of that relationship from Eric Lichtblau, who's a Washington Bureau reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and he joins us from the nation's capital this morning. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
What is the relationship that begins to emerge in these Freedom of Information Act documents that you've obtained? I'm so used to saying everything comes from WikiLeaks. It's sort of refreshing that it's the old Freedom of Information Act.
We like to hear that ourselves, yes.
I bet you do.
Well, one of the more interesting aspects of what we saw in reviewing all these documents was that you had congressional officials at times who were not exactly known for their aggressive oversight in a lot of different areas, really pushing the regulators to take a more aggressive stance on some safety issues involving offshore drilling in a couple of different instances, and feeling as if they were getting pushback from the regulators. This is within the Interior Department, the agency. It used to be known as the Minerals Management Service, MMS, that oversees oversaw offshore drilling at BP and elsewhere. And what you had was some recurring exchanges where you had, for instance, senators and congressmen saying, "Well, why aren't you spending more money on oil spill research?" This is in the months prior to the spill.
Right.
We've allotted you $28 million a year, and now we see you're only spending $6 million a year, sometimes $5 million a year, $7 million a year. You know, what is this about? And the answers they got from the regulators from the Interior Department were, "We think we're fine. And if we take money and spend more on oil spill research, we're just going to have to take it from somewhere else, and we don't want to do that. We think we're up to speed."
Right. And let's just remind people that this research would have been countermeasures for dealing with an oil spill, research into detecting if something could possibly happen.
Yeah, the ecological impact,
right.
How oil would spread, how you would contain it, that sort of thing.
Exactly the kind of stuff.
An enormous facility up in New Jersey that's dedicated to studying that.
Right, and it's exactly the kind of thing that we needed to know right after the BP spill happened. Quickly, Eric Lichtblau, Washington Bureau reporter for our partner, the New York Times, in these documents, we've known since the Bush administration that the Minerals Management Service has had all kinds of problems in its relationships with the industry. There was supposed to have been some bureaucratic reorganization during the Obama era. What new about the relationship, or at least what of perhaps the Obama administration dropping the ball, is evident from these documents?
Well, I'd say that the new aspect is that that the regulators, you know, while there was this coziness with the industry, they were facing some people on the Hill, unbeknownst to maybe from the outside, who were saying, hey, wait a second here, you know, don't we need to be pushing harder? There was a lot of concern for about a year prior to the BP spill that's reflected in these documents about a second BP rig called the Atlantis, which is also in the Gulf, about 190 miles out, and you had dozens of exchanges that are in these documents, emails, and correspondence with congressional aides who wanted to know about safety concerns that had arisen,
right.
and were the engineering documents accurate, and were there independent experts who were verifying what BP was telling them, and there was a lot of frustration in these documents by congressmen who were told by the regulators, you know, we wish we could tell you more about this Atlanta situation, but we just can't. We're constrained legally. And you know, there were some exchanges where congressional aides were saying, you know, you want me to go to my boss and say, you know, we've got this giant oil rig platform in the Gulf and these safety concerns, and we're sorry, but we can't tell you anything.
Wow. Mm. Well, Eric Lichtblau, Washington Bureau reporter for our partner in the New York Times, many more documents to pour through. The nature of this relationship is going to become clearer in the days and weeks ahead. Thanks so much.
Well, so
how's this playing out
in the Gulf with the residents, with people who live there? Carrie Seaton Stewart is with us now. She's owner of the fried chicken restaurant, the famous fried chicken restaurant, Willie Mae's Scotch House. Carrie, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Carrie, you've seen this thing play out for months now. You've heard about the lack of responsibility. You've heard about some of the coziness between oil companies and regulators. Now we add Congress to a very dirty mix. Is it more reason for cynicism? How are you feeling this morning?
Well, first of all, it's disheartening to know that the 11 people had to lose their lives due to the explosion and the millions of lives that was changed in the aftermath of the oil spill. We just don't know the long-term effects of this oil spill in our water system. Yes, they're testing the seafood, and it's safe, and we've been eating it in the Gulf area and selling it and everything like that. It has affected our tourism. Because we were booming. We were on the up and up, the hiatus of being the Super Bowl champions, and people were coming to New Orleans, and now we have to deal with another controversy on top of this.
That's still going on, the tourism downturn, and what you're describing, Carrie, is you're the research now, the aftermath of the oil spill and what the people's effects are going to be, the research that wasn't done by the regulators is now going to be done by you and people down in the Gulf. Carrie Seaton Stewart, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
And have a happy holiday. It's great that you reminded us of the 11 dead from the Deepwater Horizon disaster.
Tragedy.
Carrie Seaton Stewart is the operator of Willie Mae's Scotch House in New Orleans, Louisiana.